Father, we thank you for your precious presence. May the glory of God come down on hearts and lives. Help us to help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a text in the 24th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. And we will read verse 32. Chapter 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now here we have a sweet and a gripping story. We see the supernatural in all its mystery and majesty as it walks and talks with the natural. And here Luke records not a fairy tale, but a real experience as the risen Lord holds converse with his disciples. So often you'll hear, well, no one knows what's on the other side because no one has ever come back from the dead to tell us. And yet, our Lord did that very thing. And there isn't any evidence more decisive than the evidence that we have here before us tonight. But in this glowing testimony of these men who were on Emmaus Road, we have three phases of the risen Lord's ministry. And to try to separate them would just do such damage to not only them in a sense, but to ourselves. And I want to point them out to you tonight. First of all, we have Christ revealed as the companionable Christ. And then we have him revealed as the expository Christ. And then we have him revealed as the kindling Christ. First, let's examine the companionable Christ. Now, you'll notice how it said, he talked with us by the way. These men, can you imagine them telling that? How happily they must have told it, wonderingly. It was like a dream, almost. He talked with us in the way. This, within itself, is kind of one of those things that's, it's like timberline. It's above you. It's beyond you. We often stand, and you would or I would, if you understand it at all, you'll stand in such wonderment as you think of the deity in the eternity past, and one of them making up his heart that he will come down and take a human form, and he'll walk, and he'll talk, and he'll eat, and he'll sleep, and he'll take all that any poor common person ever takes, and then he'll go to the cross and give his life for the human race. But now, we're not seeing the Christ that came down. We're seeing him exalted And the Bible says that he has a name which is above every name. And here he is. He sees some men plodding along a road, hot, dusty, dry. Their hearts are heavy, their feet are slow, and they're blinded in a sense as to the true facts. And here they go down this road, plodding along, spiritless, heartless, almost as if they'd just soon not go on. And suddenly, he comes to be their companion. And there just aren't any words to fully explain it. You see, I often see men who get a little bit of this world's goods and whose breath is in their nostrils just like mine is. And they become a little bit intoxicated and just a little bit exalted with themselves. And they begin to take on the common airs. Take on airs. And they begin to become remote to common people, to little people, to poor people, to uneducated people. And you can't reach them. And even Christians sometimes are persuaded that they become something because they get a little something in this world when really they're nothing. You see, Paul said they think they're something when they're nothing. And you see, money don't make you something. Fame don't make you something. Big muscles don't make you something. These things don't make you anything, or the Lord would have had them all. You see, you become something when you're something in here. And you become something when you grow up with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no doubt several of you men. You think, well, now, how I'd like to have 100,000 or 200,000 or 500,000 or 2 or 3 million. Ah, there's something passing you up, my dear brother, every day that will excel that so far that you can't imagine. Thank God. When you get the wealth of God inside of you, you never see anybody that you envy. That's just the way it is. But here, you think of men that do that, and yet here the Son of God comes to be companion to these lowly men. Men who have nothing in the world, and they are nothing in the world. And with joy I can say tonight that I know the poorest and the weakest and the most illiterate and the most tainted and the chiefest of sinners can with one needy, faith-filled cry have Christ at their side, no matter where it is, no matter what it is. I notice a little sister sitting back there. And bless her heart, she and I had a good talk this last week. And suddenly, she was smiling. But not a thing in the world had changed. Just her awareness that the Lord was with her. That he wasn't going to forsake her. That he wasn't going to leave her. That he wasn't going to fail her. That the good work which he had begun in her, he would perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Yes, let me tell you that Christ will be a companion to you in the way. He's not remote. He isn't away off yonder somewhere. He hasn't taken wings and flown away. No, I tell you, he is with you always. That's what he said. I am with you always. Even he said to the end, and the Greek word there means the age, to the end of the world. And so here they say, he talked with us by the way. What a wondering testimony it was. The resurrection had in no way cooled the Lord's love for them. And their shattered lives had in no way become a deterrent to him. Their blind attitudes to truth had not stopped him coming to them. And he is the same loving, tender, gracious, concerned Savior to them right now that he was when he walked the earth with them. He would not leave them. He would not fail to provide for them. But many try to go without the Lord in the way. Do you realize that? I've seen Christians try to get along without the Lord. A party talked to me last week, and they were talking about someone that was defying God and going away from God. And they said, Brother Hill, as they wept, what can I do? I said, well, I'll tell you, all you can do is sit around and tenderly wait to try to help them put the pieces back together when they crash, for they will crash. The Lord will see to that. And I think of Greg, as Al mentioned him, coming back to the Lord this morning. Yes, you see, how many of us have had to come to a bitter end in our way before we would recognize he was there. Now, these men were filled with unbelief when Jesus came up to them. They said, well, did you know what went on in Jerusalem? Why, they said, we had hoped that he was going to be the Messiah. Disillusioned. Desperate. It seems like life has no meaning to us now. We're going down the way to apparent defeat. But, oh, precious hearts, he talked with them in the way. And he'll talk with you and I in the way. He is a companion that will never part from us. You think you have friends, and sometimes, that's what you've heard me often say. You know, someone in Brother Hatch's place, or Bob, or J.D.'s, or someone like that. You know, it's hard to tell who your friends really are. Because, get a little money, and you'll begin to see people, and they're just like parasites. And they only want you as long as you're alive and kicking. And as soon as you can't do them some good, they crawl away like the lice they are. But thank God, I can tell you about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I can tell you about a companion that will never stop loving you. I can tell you about a companion that wants absolutely nothing out of you but your own benefit. I can tell you about a companion you can't make rich. You can't instruct him. Your wisdom is foolishness with him. Your wealth is just poverty with him. Your strength is weakness with him. Yet here he stands. And he would come to you and I again and again and again if we would simply call upon him. Oh, I love this about the Christ. We all need him when we are dying, and we know that, but many try to go through life without him. I marvel how cleverly the devil deceives so many by making them think that anything other than the Lord is sufficient for the way. We're prone to become enamored with and dependent upon so many things, and yet He alone is sufficient for your life. There comes a time when money won't do it. There comes a time when medicine won't do it. There comes a time when the strongest, truest friends can't do it. There comes a time when your fame will go. There comes a time when health will go. There comes a time when life will go. And precious hearts, this companion we not only need then, we need Him to go with us so that we can properly come up to the time when we will inevitably go. Sometimes you get some of these smart calls and crazy calls. I get quite a few of them. Phone rang here the other day. Picked up the receiver. Someone's tried to say in a weird voice, "You're gonna die." I hung up so quick. Or I'd have shouted a little bit for him, and I said, I'd have said, "Well, I know I'm probably going to die, but can you tell me when?" Well, they got a hold of the wrong fellow when they told me that. I'm not, thank God, by His grace, not afraid of that moment. You see, He's sufficient, however, for life. And note how He so blended Himself with them that He seemed to be one of them. Wasn't that a marvel? The exalted, glorified Son of God could come down to common men and so blend Himself with them that they walked 8 miles with Him before they knew who He was. Isn't that wonderful? That's how precious He was. Now, you see, some people are afraid if the Lord comes along, He's going to kick them in one thing or another. Those fellows were in a bad shape. They were disbelieving. They were full of unbelief. But He didn't come up and say, start kicking them and say, "What, I did not tell you? Well, I told you I was going to get up out of the grave. Get down the road there." That's the way a lot of people picture the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find so tender a person. You'll never find anyone as gentle as He. You'll never find anyone as long-suffering, as understanding. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your condition is. I don't care if you've wandered to the backside of nowhere. He's there to love you. It was His Spirit in the sense of the story that awoke that prodigal in the pig pen. And so, just a common traveler. Now, will He walk with me and talk with me in the way? Yes. And I'll assure you that only His companionship can ever make my way successful. Give it peace and give it purpose. Oh, now in this life and then glory forever. Have you ever thought about that? He alone can keep us in the way. The Bible says, except the Lord keep the city, they watch in vain that keep it. You see, it is not of man to devise his steps. Oh, you businessmen. And whether you're businessmen or not, you have your own kind of a business. Learn to consult the Lord about your way. He'll never, never fail you. And so, let's now go to the expository Christ. Notice what it said. He opened to us the Scriptures. This is a wonderful thing to me for a lot of reasons, but it especially makes me realize and assures me that the Lord put in the Bible everything that I need. There's nothing else that I need but this. Now you see, he could have got out of there. And he could have said, now wait a minute here. I am the Word of God. Now you listen to me. No. He opened to them the Scriptures. He wants you and I to know that everything we need is in this. He has nothing else to say to us in this day, in this age. He has said it all in here. This is a complete revelation of what he wants you and I to have in this lifetime. Oh, we enjoy times when we have an interpretation or a prophecy or we have a dream or something of that kind. I sometimes tell people the dream that I had before I came to Denver, and it utterly amazes them. How could anyone but God have done what he did for me? Several years before I come here, even tell me the name of the little place where I would come to when I first came. That's all wonderful. But if I'm going to feed my soul, if I'm going to learn what he has for me, if I'm to know the doctrine, if I'm to know the revelation of this age, if I want to know the plan and the purpose that there is for my life, I must find it in the Scriptures. So oftentimes, especially among the Pentecostals, you'll find them. I ran into a group one time and they would sit around and they'd have prophecies and interpretations, and then they had someone taking it down in shorthand or taking it on a recorder, and later they compiled it and put it in a book. Of course, I examined the book and found several unscriptural things in it. But they were reading that instead of the Bible. How many people are reading things instead of the Bible? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has nothing else to give us. We've come to times when the Bible means very little to most Christians even. They do that which is right in their own eyes. They'll say, my church believes, or brother so-and-so said. Paul spoke of the time, and Al quoted it tonight, when many would not endure sound doctrine. Friends, we can never overstate the value of the Bible to our lives. There are so many things we're tempted to put before the Bible, and especially so if it don't suit our fancy. In when Robert said what he said to me, I didn't infer that he was asleep. I said, a lot of people wouldn't say that. They don't like for you to disturb them. And they wouldn't. You see, people want to be tickled. They don't want what the Word of God has to say. But precious hearts, you see, God has put everything in the Word that I need, and I need everything that's in the Word. You see, it's there, and it's there for me. And especially so in this day and this hour. Many men and women spend a lifetime seeking out the mysteries of creation. I think of the archaeologists that search lifetimes for the mysteries of the past. They're trying to find some missing link, and yet they have no time for God. And how many times have you and I heard people say, we go out. I had one couple years ago, and they came to church a few times, and I called on them, had more time than I have now, and I called on them, and I said, we've missed you the last few Sundays. Oh, yes, Brother Hill. They said, all summer long we go to the hills. He said, you know, God's up there in the trees and the rocks and the things, and we see Him in nature. Yes, you can see Him in nature, but He'll only be revealed to you in this book. You need the Word of God. There is no other way that Christ is revealed to men but in this book. And so, precious hearts, for a while, nature shows there is a God, but only the Word of God reveals that God. The heavens declare His handiwork, but this book talks to you. See the difference? Now let's go. Oh, however, I will say this, you know, someone says, but Brother Hill, I can't understand the Word of God. Well, I just read to you, He opened the Scriptures by the way. You start in the way, He'll open the Scriptures to you. You go the right way. Why, a young man came in my office this week, and he told me, he said, well, I was saved and filled a long time before Darrell. He said, I didn't have the boldness or the courage to testify down there at Gates. He said, why, that Darrell, there's no one any worse than he was. But he said, suddenly he came in there, and I could just see him changing. He was bold to testify. He said it was no time until he was telling me what the Word of God said. And here I'd been a Christian all that time. He said, I decided I wanted to go to the place where Darrell was going. I remember the time, first time I met Bob back there. Dear old George Workman had testified to him. Bob had heard me on the radio, but we'd never met. And George, just as bold as a lion, you know, and he'd just been taken up out of the dope and what have you. And the old life just fell away from him like leaves falling from a tree, the first hard freeze. And here he was, and he went in there. And Bob, I remember one of the things he said to me. He said, Brother Hill, he's been saved 6 months. He knows more about his Bible now than I do, and I've been saved 12 years. Well, there's something wrong, see? And the first night I was in Bob and Alice's home, I remember what Bob said along in the night. He said, Alice, you know what Brother Hill's been doing out here, don't you? She said, no, Bob, what? Well, he said, he's been showing us how ignorant we are of that book we claim we believe. He'll open the Scriptures to you in the way, because he did to me. He's no respecter of persons. You see, I don't have any jump on this thing. I don't know what I know because I'm clever, because I'm brilliant, because I'm smart. I know what I know because in the way I said, Jesus, I want you to walk with me. I want you to tell me what you've got for me. And he did. Last of all, finally, we have the kindling Christ. Note what it said. Did not our heart burn within us? You know what that is, don't you? Here's the only energy that can light the fires of the heart. When Moses came to the burning bush, that's when he was ready to go for God. And when Israel walked in the wilderness, they walked with a pillar of fire. Old Elijah said, "The God who answers by fire, let him be God." And on the day of Pentecost, tongues like as of fire set upon each of them. Now here, there were men whose hearts were cold and indifferent. They were believing the wrong thing. They were talking the wrong thing. The devil had them completely confused. They had lost hope. They had lost all the joy that was in their lives. And yet Jesus sets their hearts aglow. And this is the warmth that is for us personally. You see, it's a warmth to which the multitudes of men and women caught in this old, cold, chilling world need to know about. Darrell walked in here. Yes, I have some pictures of that young man over at my home when he was under the influence of dope. You could put him upside of him tonight and you wouldn't know him. That just couldn't be him. But being raised like he was, I'm sure he never understood much that I said that year ago today. But there was a warmth here. Here sets Rick and Ron. Rick told me, Rick Underwood, he told me he was talking to someone that he met down here in the court one day, and he said, "I told him." Or no, the party told me he told him. Said, "You walk in that place," he said, "there is a something in there. It's just warm, and you feel it." Now, that isn't me. Thank you, Brother Prudent, for what you felt. That's a part of it. That's what we need. We need our hearts warmed. We need to be fires by which others can find warmth. We need to let Him have His way. And oh, thank God that the heart of any man or any woman will burn within them when they talk to Him in the way. He makes the difference, the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. How sweet it is when He lifts us above the troubles. It isn't always that He immediately solves the troubles, but immediately we're just lifted up above them. And the thing that was cowering us and defeating us and pressuring us, suddenly we can laugh in the face of that very thing. Peace of God that passeth understanding. Dear woman called me last week, frantic. Her husband on, or her child on dope, just in an awful condition, frantic. And I said, "But you can trust God. You can put your confidence in God. And then He'll give you a peace." "Oh," she said, "it don't seem possible." I said, "Paul said, be anxious for nothing." When the devil gets you upset and starts making you anxious, you're worthless to yourself. Worthless to yourself. Learn to put your confidence in Him and then rest in Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God that passeth understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus your Lord. How often we've seen this come to pass. Oh, troubles like raging torrents can be all about the life, but that person will be as peaceful as God Himself is peaceful. Listen, if God said He would take care of you, and He did, if God has committed Himself for you to you, and He has, if God is the creator of this universe, and He is, if He holds the winds in His hand, and He does, if He poured out the rivers, whithersoever He would have them go, if He reared up the mountains, if He hung the universe on nothing, and He did, He can take care of you. You know, some of you would never in your lifetime have found out what you found out about God if you hadn't got in trouble. We just dread to have anything happen. Party called me this last week and I said, don't you see that you've been living and just to go to heaven someday? God don't want you to just go to heaven. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to find out who He is and what He is. He wants you to learn about His strength, about His love, about His tenderness, about His long-suffering, about His gentleness. He wants you to know Him. So He has to put you in a pressure place so you'll find out about Him. So, I'll have to go by the Greek students. They say that the tense of this verb shows that the enkindling is a permanent thing. That though this particular episode was over, the influence would remain forever. Isn't that wonderful? You look that up, Orville. Do you know Him as the enkindling Christ tonight? Have you found Him a companion in the way? Have you found Him as He that would expound to you the Scriptures? Oh, precious hearts, this is the sacred passion. And how we need to have Him in the way. Have you ever taken Christ? Do you know Christ? Do you feel that the way that you take, you need Him as a companion? Let me tell you, the longest life one day is going to run out. Then what? Remember the young man that I told you about? He told his pastor. He said, well, I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a medical education. Pastor said, then what? Well, he said, then I'm going to hang out my shingle and I'm going to make a lot of money and I'm going to find me a beautiful girl, and I'm going to get married, and I'm going to raise a fine family, and I'm going to build a big fine home, and every time he'd say something, the pastor would say, then what? And finally, he said, Pastor, I see what you mean. One day, I'm going to have to meet God. So, Pastor, I'm going to take your advice and put my life with Him right now. Will you do that tonight? Shall we bow our heads?
Let
We're going to sing a song, number 227, and we invite you to come.